Welcome to the Matrescent Medicine Stories. I'm Gemma Michelle of Wild Birth. This is a space to sit at the feet of mothers and their physiological postpartum stories as our ancestors always have. A space to sip from the wisdom of their journey through matrescence. These conversations are in deep devotion to reorienting the cultural narrative of postpartum back to its primal blueprint. Together, we return to the innate wisdom, reverence, nourishment, and alchemy available to us through the lens of physiological, primal, and ceremonial motherhood. Today, I'm speaking with a friend and beloved mentor of mine, Nicole Parker. Nicole is a mother of four, keeper of sacred postpartum, and embodied motherhood guide. She believes that we are meant to be well-nourished as mothers, and that by surrendering to the brilliant design of our bodies, we can reclaim the inherent gift of vibrant, sustainable, flourishing motherhood. She walks with women all along the continuum of motherhood, preconception, and beyond as they revive and restore this truth for themselves. I'm often asked what resources I recommend for postpartum preparation, and her offerings, especially Rooted, which we discuss later in the episode, and the Nourish Postpartum Summit are what I tell women every single time. The Nourish Postpartum Summit is an incredible collaboration of 18 of the wisdom keepers of postpartum I admire most, with teachings on everything you need to build a deeply nourished physiological postpartum experience. From ancestral nutrition and movement, quantum breastfeeding, integration through the portal, ritual and ceremony, integrative bodywork, placenta honor and alchemy, and truly so much more. This resource alone deeply impacted my second postpartum experience. I remember being pregnant and listening to Nicole speak to the place she arrived in postpartum, where she just sat in pure awe of how she didn't know it could be this good. Like she didn't even know that humans had access to this level of pleasure and bliss. That was absolutely the place I arrived to after my birth, and I'm so grateful for these teachings for giving me the blueprint for it. Okay, hello, Nicole. It is so fitting that you are the first episode on this podcast, because you had a huge influence on my second postpartum. I don't even know if I've told you that directly, but I came into Nicole's sphere when she was doing an amazing project, the Nourish Postpartum Summit, in which I came and shared on placenta medicine. And I have been hooked ever since. I was pregnant. I was in the beginning of my pregnancy when that project came out, and just being able to sit at the feet of these women, also some men, and hear the reframing of postpartum as like physiological postpartum as sacred and as easeful and simple and euphoric just gave me so much languaging to what I already knew to be true in my system. But I didn't really have the words to speak to it with my first postpartum. So just that reframing or orienting to pleasure, I would say had the biggest impact on my second postpartum. And it was so, so pleasurable. And I love having you come on and speak to your experience and how you got to that place. I would love to hear where your matrescence began and how that landed for you.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited about what you're doing, because it definitely is the continuation of the having the language and the model and the reflection and these like lighthouses of experience and really all seasons of motherhood, but of course birth, and of course postpartum, is just such, it's such a lost art form for women to share with one another this way. And it's like so immediately fortifying when you are on the receiving end of that, and you get to see something about another woman's motherhood and be like, oh, look at that over there. I want to play with that. I want to experience that. I want to turn towards that.
Yeah, the
You know?
permission is what I really
Yeah.
felt. Like the permission to be euphoric in postpartum is not the narrative in our culture right now. And collectively reorienting to that is just has been so powerful in my experience.
I totally hear that. I think, you know, so I had my first postpartum was a really remarkable experience. I felt amazing. And it was one of the first experiences I then had as a mother of being like, oh, people don't really want to hear that. Right? Or like saying that kind of like talking crap about postpartum is like modern motherhood. It's like a way to bond. Right? Like
Absolutely.
really it's like trauma bonding at the playground. And that's so common. And I just had the absolute antithesis of whatever the modern picture of postpartum is. And so yeah, having the experience of being like, oh, where can I talk about this? Where can I share about this? Not that I felt like I couldn't, but it would like kill the conversation to be like, I have nothing bad to say. I've never felt so good in my entire life than when I was postpartum. And really recognizing that that reality is one that so many women like can't even receive, can't even digest yet, because it's so radically different than anything you've witnessed. And so it matters. Again, it matters so much to see other women have these experiences and care about them, because you get to inch yourself towards being available for that kind of postpartum, but also just mothering experience in general, right? If we look at postpartum as this imprint or the foundation for how your motherhood unfolds, what a gift to have that be one where it's safe and it's abundant to turn towards what is nourishing and pleasurable and beautiful.
Yeah, and being met with so many explanations for why other women can't have this because they're too young, or they don't have the money, or they had a traumatic birth, or their partner isn't supportive, or they have to go back to work. Hearing you speak to like the different dynamics in your four postpartums and how you maintained that same like frequency and standard and your values is so powerful in shifting out of that victim mindset.
Yeah, and you know they're real. It's also like a lived reality. These are real pieces and real dynamics and real considerations to
Absolutely.
be working with. Totally. But what if you work with them? You know.
Instead of carrying
Again.
it out. Yeah.
Yeah. What if you work with them, instead of, being like oppressed by the circumstances of your life? How
Yeah.
can you hold that differently? So yeah, I mean, my first was, I think I've probably said this before somewhere, but I think I prepared more for this postpartum than I did his birth.
And how did you know that that was true for you?
To do that, it was kind of twofold. So I had been around home birth my entire life. My mother's a home birth midwife. I attended a couple hundred births when I was a teenager, assisting her, and was never actually really involved much in the postpartum follow-up. And I would say that in the realm of midwifery licensure where my mother was practicing, like it still wasn't the exposure to postpartum that I then come to operate within. As far as like it still wasn't quite where I want to be, but it was closer than the mainstream narrative for sure. As far as staying in bed for a couple days. And I'm like staying in bed for weeks, but like the, you know, staying in bed for a couple days, like bringing over food. And so I had a practice myself of, before I even became a mother, like, if anyone had a baby, I was bringing them food. If anyone had a baby, I was bringing them food and tea. And I was not being hosted, or, you know, I had stepped in to be present in women's postpartum and been invited into their postpartum space. And again, still not what I do now, right? Now I'm bringing like dinner and breakfast and snacks and broth and milk and bread, and I'm gonna clean your toilet. Don't tell me no. Like, now I'm like so much more there. But that was a thread for me to pull. And the second piece I think was I really had so much faith in birth. I had so much trust in birth and in bodies and in the hormonal design of birth, really. And I had so much experience there. And I saw, the mainstream narrative may paint birth as this type of experience. But I know that women's bodies are actually written and coded for this type of experience. I just know that to be true. And then when I was pregnant, I was just thinking, like, when would that ever stop being true? There's no way that my body betrays me after my baby comes out, but it's like for me up until that very moment. There's no way. There's no way that the divine design of conception and pregnancy and birth stops once your baby emerges. So what else is there? And so I might hear this story of postpartum feeling this way, but I wonder if my body actually tells another story because it always has everywhere else. And so I just kind of sat with what is that design? What is that? How would that unfold? Similar to birth. What's the design of birth? And what are the things that we do that get in the way?
Yeah, one of my questions for you is something I'm going to speak here a lot on is physiological postpartum. What does that mean for you?
So for me, that was really removing, trusting that my body has a physiological design for a pleasurable postpartum experience. And trusting that if I remove those kind of more modern structures and I remove the blockages that might impede that unfolding, my body will orchestrate the opportunity for bliss in postpartum if I just
Yes.
get out of the way.
It's that simple.
It's that simple. And so much of that comes down to, just a wild number of degrees of separation between mother and baby, right? Really, really coming home to this truth that my physiological postpartum defines that I am one with my baby. And that we like operate as one person. And what does that look like? That looks like skin to skin, and not even just like opening up your top, but that looks like naked, in bed, warm, mushy, like health. If my wellness is my baby's wellness, how am I holding my baby now? Who is holding me? And that was really, I think, the most foundational piece of having the postpartum experience I did with my first was telling his father, my only job is baby. My only job. That is all I wanted. For like, I don't even know how long. Like, because I haven't done it yet, but for a while, my job is baby. And your job, therefore, has to be everything else. And we have family, and I will have women come in, and we will have this, like it's not all on your shoulders, but ultimately orchestrating that environment around me is what you're responsible for. And then I take care of our child.
How did he metabolize that?
He was like, yeah, that makes sense. He was an only child. He had never really had like babies being born in his community growing up. Like he certainly didn't have a model for nourished postpartum, but he didn't have a model for postpartum, period. Right? Like he didn't have any expectations of how that would go. And so it was pretty simple for me to lay out. He was born at home. He had like a foundation of faith for birth. And so I think the same thread made sense to him to just be like, birth is designed to work, postpartum is designed to work. And I know
And when
now,
you
and
peel
I
it back,
everything. Yeah, and I was like,
it
and I
just
remember
makes
too, like,
sense.
I haven't done it yet. So I haven't done it yet, but I have a hunch that all of the effort of taking care of my baby. And I can say now, newborns are straightforward. Newborns are easy because they are simple. They're labor intensive, but they're not confusing. But you know, I told her, I was like, I just feel like there must be a way for it to feel enjoyable and good, no matter how much work it is. And I think the only way that work of waking up and, you know, turns out my kids sleep like way more than I thought they were going to. But you know, my like maiden self was really anticipating this like labor intensive, sleep deprived narrative. And still, I was like, I really think I'll be up to the task as long as it's my only task. And I really think the only way that I'm going to be like not okay to wake up at 3 a.m. is if I'm like not okay. And if I am okay, then waking up at 3 to hold our baby, maybe it'll even feel good because I get to look at that baby. You know, and that is the experience that I had was as a mother when my needs were met. And this just applies to all of motherhood eventually, really. But like as a mother, when your needs are met, it's just not really any trouble to show up and meet the needs of a small person. Because there's no getting caught in this idea that meeting their needs is going to make you not okay because you don't have enough to give. When you have enough to give, it feels good giving. And you get to just enjoy that inherently reciprocal nature of mother child.
So that was your first experience going in. And I find your first story so beautiful, especially because your birth didn't go as planned. And that it's often, even in the like home birth, free birth narrative, quite prevalent that like if you have birth trauma, if your birth has been intervened, then peaceful postpartum is not available to you. But what was your experience of that?
I really experienced postpartum as the immediate opportunity for reclamation. I mean like immediate postpartum, where we had a home birth that sabotage even sounds a little too strong, knowing the hearts of the women that were there with me, but was medically managed and went a certain way and ended in a cesarean section. And even still, putting my baby to breast and having him latch immediately, that was the moment that I was like back in my body. That was the moment that was like, okay, this is how we're okay. This is how my body works. This is how his body works. Like, here we are together now. And it wasn't this like, so I'm gonna stop. I even in the moment was like, I'm gonna get to that in a minute. There's gonna be processing and metabolizing to do. That is still an experience we need to digest. But it was immediately getting to see, because I was observing a physiological postpartum, those thoughts of like, your body was broken, your body could, immediately starts to get replaced with all the ways your body is working. Because you're feeling good and you're feeling strong and you're feeling stable and secure and connected and open and joyful. And you're feeding your child and you're feeling, you know, you're having all these other somatic experiences that feel so right. There's no way your body is wrong. And so for me, I mean, and it wasn't, I didn't even stay in bed that long. I stood in bed a couple days and then I was on the couch for a couple of weeks. And then I kind of went back to, you know, regular life by the end of the month. But so by all measures, it wasn't even a like postpartum quarantine kind of situation. But I still really followed the cues of my body. And I immediately felt like I got to have another experience of my body. And I think that thread is so, it really is so consistent and it's so powerful to have your birth experience kind of cast a light over your motherhood experience. It's the birth of your motherhood that matters how that happens. That matter, so it happens. And I got to make a new life every day postpartum with my son. And the birth experience was still there. And I did get to go back and revisit it. But there was also another kind of warmth to lean into that softened it, where I didn't feel, yeah, there wasn't like despair or confusion or disassociation from my body because it was such a rich somatic experience. And I think that's really the key is you get pulled back into your body in a really beautiful, truly beautiful way. And it becomes this touchstone that holds you. And maybe all the birth trauma is also there, right? Like when I talk about postpartum bliss, I don't mean that you don't dip into those shadows. I mean that you like come into a level of brilliance that sustains you while you do that inherent shadow work that might show itself. So I'm not saying that if you stay in bed and have someone make you broth, that you're like, oh, your birth trauma doesn't matter. It does. And maybe it sits right there with you the whole time. But can you feel safe sitting with it? And I think it's possible when your postpartum is designed well and when you decide that you're available to it.
Yes, that is so beautiful. I'm just thinking back to my second experience. I didn't have a traumatic birth, but just the levels of ecstasy and shadow that I held in my system simultaneously, like so much past traumatic things were percolating through my body, especially in my dreams at the same time. And just the ecstasy I felt from that, just from having both of these parallels happening at the same time and like bridging these worlds and just holding it all while staring through, like into my baby's eyes, was just pure alchemy.
It's the best word for it.
Yeah.
And it really, that right there, that's the frequency mothers need to move securely into motherhood. That's really it. Can you hold your highest highs and your lowest lows in each dream? And as you move through motherhood, there's going to be like even higher highs and even lower lows. And it is such a simultaneous experience. So often you're feeling more than one feeling at one time in equal measure. And it would be totally confusing if the first time you became consciously aware of that is when you had, a 3.5-year-old melting down and you're looking at them and one part of you is like, I hate this sound. I want to walk away. This is awful. I want this to end. And the other part of you is like, oh my God, you are beautiful when you're mine. Oh, I still just want to look at your face, even though it's so, it's an incredible experience to be a mother and to like have both of those things be true. I hate this and I love this at the same time, to the same amount.
Yeah, and trust that we are given like the spiritual, but also the physiological capacity to hold this in such a new way. Now, as mothers, like I just remember this moment postpartum, like I had been traveling through dream time and holding all of this. And I just had this knowing of like, I think I have access to all of the information in the world in this moment. Now, being 9 months postpartum, like that's gone. But like that first, like 40 days postpartum, I had access to the information, all of the information in the world. And I just felt like that was such a gift to be alchemizing all these things with this massive capacity I suddenly had.
You're so capable and you get to know it. You get to like really tune into. And I always pull this back to the archetype of like the earth mother, right? She holds everything. She literally holds all of human life. And it's never too much, and it's never too heavy, and it's never too dark, and it's never too brilliant, and it's never too anything. And there's a frequency of that in postpartum and in motherhood, where yeah, you're like, I have access to everything. I have access to everything, and I can hold everything. And turns out I can feel okay doing it too. Like it's just a really, you get to marvel at yourself in a way. It's, and what a place to move into your motherhood then and feel just so capable. You're like you've really become something so great.
It's so delicious. It really is.
My favorite.
One of the things that you speak about that has touched me so deeply is your relationship with beauty and beauty as nourishment. So I would love to hear, in any of your postpartums, how do you weave in beauty as nourishment? Like, how does that feel for you?
Yeah, that was definitely the most present for Liam, which was my fourth birth, he just had one, and that was by far of all my postpartums, that was one that I really, really dug in on beauty in a really significant way. And so much of that is, you know, like we talked about these wildly different family dynamics and community dynamics that we've been in. So to compare with Owen, my oldest, you know, very happily, securely married, had a pretty good community of women around us. We had both sets of my in-laws available. We had, you know, a short, like a couple hours drive, but available. My family came to visit at some point. Like there was a lot of potential there. There was a lot of resource to lean on. And with Liam, we separated the month we conceived him. We were now living in two separate dwellings. We had three older children, the youngest of which was barely two. And we had just the month we conceived Liam, we separated and moved across the country to a town where we don't know anyone. And the week that we arrived here, not even planning to move here, was when I confirmed that Liam was growing. And
Wow.
so, just to set the scene, it was this like, you don't know anyone, you don't have anywhere to live, you're now going to be navigating a divorce, and you have 9 months before this baby emerges. And my everything that I did in my pregnancy was really centered around postpartum. Like that first month of his pregnancy, I was making moves in service of postpartum. We moved into the property that we did because postpartum, where I have a house and daddy was in an apartment in the backyard explicitly because I was like, when I am postpartum, you need to be next door. And that's just not a facet of our marriage, but of our co-parenting. So, but for Liam, knowing that a lot of those structures that maybe were my most leaned upon in previous postpartums were now not at my disposal or in a much different way. Right. And so I did decide to construct beauty around me, knowing what a support and what a nutrient that is for me in my life. So a handful of things around myself. I mean, I had like new bedding. Like I knew I was going to be in my bedroom. We were coming into a new house, had like no furniture. And but my bedroom was done. That was the priority. So that was wine-colored linen sheets that I could bleed on, but were still gorgeous. And sheepskins that were comfortable. And a robe that I actually never even wore, but I had and wanted. And wool socks. And a set of ceramic dishes, like a good ceramic bowl and a good ceramic mug that are mine. Like no one has ever eaten out of these dishes. They were like my postpartum dishes. All my food was served in these things. And were then hand washed by women that were attending to me and filled with food that were made by women who loved me and were also beautiful to hold and look at. Things like any sensory experience. So there was also yoni steaming herbs that smell good as much as they do feel good. Or infused body oils was a huge one, like mugwort and chamomile infused oils. Like tallow balm and rose water, like lots of little beauty rituals, lots of tactile sensory. Does it smell good? Does it look nice? Does it feel good on my skin? Can I weave this into a ritual that I can do at my bedside? So I had like a basket by my bed that was like tallow and magnesium and rose water and whatever, like a little collection of things where in those tiny moments where, you know, the baby naps and you roll away just a little bit and you kind of rotate your hips and you straighten your spine. You kind of have this moment where you check and you're like, oh yeah, how's my body feel? What do I need for a second? And so much of my practice utilizing beauty as a nutrient and as nourishment in my life is to identify those moments where you're kind of already taking stock. You already have this moment to utilize. Now use it on purpose. So every postpartum mother has a moment where like the baby naps on the bed for a second and you're like, oh, like I'm a woman in this body, in this new body, in this new life, like what's going on for a second? Every woman's taking that pause. Now, do you want to utilize it? And that might look like magnesium infused tallow for the soles of my feet, or a chamomile infused oil for the rest of my body, or like a scalp brush for my hair, whatever is happening, right? And it makes that moment more nourishing than it would be on its own because I'm being given the opportunity. The opportunity will present itself. Now, how do I want to use it? And so, yeah, it's just a lot of things that, and you can really just go through your senses. What are the things that I think look beautiful? Can I put those in my bedroom? What are the things that I think smell nice? How can I put that there? What kind of textures feel good on my skin? What do I want to be wearing? So, again, just really going through the senses of like what feels nourishing. What's the sensory experience that you have? And you're like, oh, I love this.
And
And
allowing
what's
yourself to
background?
fully receive that experience and
Absolutely.
be in it and be nourished by it. Like it's so accessible. No matter what your situation is, like that's something I implemented so much in my second postpartum, just like allowing myself to drink in all these beautiful rituals and medicine and sensory experience, like down to the cloth diapers. Sure, it's great. We save money with cloth diapers, but no, I am dressing my baby in the organic cotton and wool diapers because every time I see them, I go,
This is so
Every
cute.
little
I
thing.
know. Yeah, and it really is that. Like, are you available to be nourished by the moment, whatever the moment is? And the frequency of nourishment and the frequency of beauty is also so similar to that of receptivity and gratitude. If you think something is beautiful, you have received it. If you are feeling nourished, you are grateful for it. Like those things are just woven together. And so if we look at the goal for postpartum is that a woman gets to sit in this frequency of receptivity that fortifies her for motherhood. Finding all of those places that already exist is so useful, especially in those situations where, yeah, maybe you don't have, I say this too, maybe you don't have aunties that are flying across the world to live in your backyard for 6 weeks and spoon feed you broth morning and night. I don't know anyone who does, to be honest. But that doesn't mean that you can't feel this way. And also this idea, I think, too, is important of like it's not all or nothing. It's not you have an amazing postpartum experience or you're completely miserable. It's not all or nothing. And yeah, maybe your husband goes back to work at the end of the week. And like no matter how you slice it, it's not enough. And you know that. I'm not up for like gaslighting anyone and being like, oh, that's fine. No, it's not. It's against your physiological reality
Yeah.
to be tending to your 2.5-year-old and your newborn by yourself at 8 days postpartum. Absolutely. So how do we want to work with that? What kind of things can we take off your plate that maybe you just have never let anyone take off your plate before? And what kind of things can we build in that are maybe more nourishing and more beautiful and more abundant than you've actually ever let yourself receive before too?
Yeah, and
And your
just the
husband's still gone,
simplicity.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But like, what else can we bring in?
Yeah. And like as simple as how are you arriving to each moment? How are you receiving what is happening? How are you staying with that intensity mixed with the pleasure in the moment? Yeah.
Can you locate the ability to feel safe in the moment that you're in? And sometimes maybe not, right? And that doesn't mean that you had a bad postpartum.
Yeah.
I remember my second postpartum was my trickiest, I would say. And it was still a wonderful experience, but that was the one that I probably like touched the deepest depths and had the most struggle at the same time. I had a two just turned 2-year-old that was like quite sick in a pretty significant way and was struggling, and there was a big rupture in welcoming my second between me and my first that I didn't anticipate. So didn't really know how to hold that in integrity. Didn't have that experience for my third and fourth, but on purpose, right? I had very differently structured my subsequent postpartums to hold that rupture better. But that first time was, it was kind of a trial by fire situation. And I remember having moments. Daddy was gone the second week. He was only gone for like 5 hours. The 3 of those hours were watching planet Earth and like, someone's probably crying until he comes home. It's usually me. Of course. And I was safely tucked into bed. I would set up a projector above the bed so that we could watch planet Earth when mama was stuck postpartum. Or, there was still so much beauty in that in those days, even in the hard ones. And I would absolutely still say that I had a physiological nourishing postpartum experience. Was it to the extent that I was capable of when I was like more financially resourced and had a greater community this last time? No. But the frequency was absolutely there and thoroughly enjoyed and often.
Tell me a little bit more about the rupture when you had your second and how you navigated that going forward. Because I know one of the common narratives of like, that sounds nice, but it's not my first baby. And that's obviously only available for when you have your first baby. So how did that show up for you?
So when I had my second, and so it was mama and daddy and 2-year-old and newborn, the solution that we kind of went in, we went into it with was a lot of me meeting baby's needs, because that's how it works, but daddy meeting toddler needs. And so I think I neglected to anticipate appropriately because I had never seen it, how significant it would be, not just for my oldest to have his needs met, but for me to be the one meeting them when possible. And not just for him. He actually had a better time than I did. I was the one that was upset by this. I was feeling not okay with this. He was going to the grocery store and the playground every day and the farmer's market and all the things he normally did. He was mostly fine. And I remember so distinctly having this sense as if it was as if baby and I had become our own unit, but my previous unit was continuing on without me. And so there was this not even full-fledged resentment, but this little seed of like, I don't want to be doing this. I want to go do that. And so there's this image of a if we're going to allow ourselves this image of mother baby as a unit. The reality is it's not just mother and baby that are postpartum, it is the family that is postpartum.
Yeah.
And it is not just, softening the blow for your toddler by trying to make their life be as normal as possible actually creates a dissonance between reality and your previous reality. And the truth is that your toddler is no longer an only child. And the truth is that you are no longer a mother at home. And the truth is life has changed, and so let's act like it. And so what that looked like subsequent postpartums, especially my third, I was so careful with that, really, because I was coming off of that experience and I was like, I don't want to feel that way again. That was pulling my children into me so much more. And I have very rambunctious, high energy boys. So anyone who's like, I hear you. If you're like, yeah, that's cute, but my 3-year-old would never. Actually, maybe he would. And part of this is not giving children enough credit for having an innate understanding of that which is sacred, that they do. And they are capable of being the big brother because they were given the life of being a big brother. And there is something to be said here with trusting your children to live the life they're being given, and trusting yourself as their mother to be their keeper and their orchestrator of how they get to experience that. So for my third, that was a lot more like I didn't let people take them out of the house as much. Their big boys were totally going with daddy to go to the grocery store. If someone has to go get groceries, yes, please take the kids. They're getting it loved up on at the store clerk and be given stickers, and you can go grab lunch and, like, go utilize it, absolutely. But no longer did I do this idea of like, mama and baby have to rest, so you guys leave. Right? It's mama and baby need to rest. Would you like to bring your puzzle in here? Would you like to go get some books? Would you? I even made their dad like bring a towel in and lay it on the floor next to the bed so we were eating meals together. They would sit on the floor next to me. Like any possible thing that I could do to bring my children close to me while I was appropriately, physiologically resting in bed postpartum with their baby brother. But how can I set them up to be there too, even if that's just in the room doing their own thing? And that felt so much. And sometimes it was as direct as, they would ask for something. And if it was a need I could meet, like, mama, I'm thirsty and I already have water at my bedside. Stopping daddy, who's about to get up and go to the kitchen and get them a glass of water. Hey, baby, I have you, come here. Even those little things, doing it myself, because I am now practicing what is it like to meet the needs of three. And nobody talks about this aside from how horrible it feels, but no one's getting to the root of why it feels this way. If you had your mother-in-law or your mother or whoever, your husband's off work for 2 weeks and your mother-in-law flies in, and for 2 weeks you are like taken care of, and people are like, your toddler is like Disneyland living. Grandma's here. There are snacks. There's always cookies. We're going to the park. We're going to the zoo. Like, this is the coolest. Toddler has hardly even noticed baby is here because there's like so much other stuff to do and focus on. And at day 15, everyone leaves. And now it's mom and toddler and baby. And now mama, though she is capable, is going to be holding the full weight of her task for the first time at one time, which is a radically different experience than little bits here and there. Right? And so I pull this thread too that I has been so soothing to me in my experiences. In every moment when you're pregnant, when you are like fully, big round womb, and your toddler goes to jump on you and you explain to them that pregnant bodies aren't available for that kind of play, that is Mothering too, that is meeting the needs of yourself, your toddler, and your baby at once. And so you have practiced, you've been practicing. Now your baby is in your arms. You still get to practice. You still get to play with it. You still get to find those all those little threads where you are actively mothering two or three or four or five at one time. And giving yourself the spaces to do that, which you will have more of if you bring the family to mama rather than like isolating mama while the family continues on. Then when postpartum, whatever your immediate postpartum does end, and you're now moving forward into constructing just motherhood, you have a bit of a foundation you've built for yourself. You have something to orient to. You have something you can fall back on because you did it. And maybe, and I did too, right? I had this experience of really consciously and intentionally falling back on it, where maybe I'm 6 months postpartum, which is like not postpartum in the same way. And the holding of two plus myself feels too big. I'm falling back to meat sticks and slices of cheese and planet Earth on the projector. And we're crawling back into bed to the one thing that I know always works because it held us in our hardest moments. And so I can utilize that today. Are we doing that every day? No. But I still do it as a mother of four. We had a moment a couple days ago that was just like unhinged. All four of them were crying for four separate reasons. And I was like, huh! And I grabbed a stack of books and I turned off all the lights. And I picked up as many human bodies as I could, and I dragged them all to the couch and I sat down. And they're crawling on me and they're crying on me. And as soon as the sniffles died down enough to hear, we read books, which is exactly what I do in postpartum. This is the moment that I know can hold the biggest shit possible. And I will return to that whenever I need to. I
What an
learned that in postpartum.
incredible integrative practice. Like, not only for mother when she's integrating back into daily life and the quote unquote real world, but like the children. And I played with it a lot in this postpartum of like how much of that rupture with the older sibling is created societally, and then how much of that is innate because they are going through their rite of passage, a huge rite of passage, and the nature of a rite of passage is to separate. Like, there is rupture there, but for that rite of passage to be complete, they come back to their community, which is you, which is their family, and they integrate and they share that medicine together. I had like a similar but also very different experience because my daughter was 6 when the baby was born. And she was in with us a lot and she loved the baby and she was really helpful. But also, she gained so much independence in that 40 days. She just went off to her room a lot of the time. I was drawing and making crafts and like suddenly independent playing for the first time in her life. And she was happy. I was the one that was really, really struggling with it. I think it was only like 3 months postpartum when I joined Rooted with you. And I remember just feeling that grief of her feeling so separate and so independent so suddenly. And I didn't have any integration of this. And I was trying to pull her back into me, but like because of her age and her character, she just wasn't really interested a lot of the time. And I think it was your suggestion of like, instead of trying to pull her to you, just like, how can you and baby meet her and go to her where she is in a way that doesn't abandon you or baby's needs? And playing with that was just so healing for all of us. And it just became simple in that I could also start doing the energy work. Like, I just kept imagining reweaving our energy fields now as we're integrating back into real world and no longer having a postpartum. And that became easy because I was just meeting her where she had voyaged off to, and then we came
And
back
taken ourselves.
together.
Oh, I really love that image. Because it's true, it's true that mother baby does eventually emerge from the like soil of postpartum.
Yeah.
I have that image in my childhood. Community comes in so close to them and holds them, but then kind of picks them up and moves them back. And when that happens, it's going to feel different for everyone. But I think that 3 months, 12 weeks, fourth trimester is like really a threshold that everyone feels. Whatever language you want to use to describe it. And what a powerful thing to get to, kind of arrive to your daughter in a new way and even subtly or quietly affirm, we are ready to join you now. Like, where have you gone? Where are you? And I have this experience of my oldest really driving and directing the needs of the family. Like, he has arrived to middle childhood. And there are so many ways that that ripples throughout everyone else's experience. The way that meeting his needs is just, it changes the whole family constellation. And I just love that I got to have that experience of kind of guiding herself in a way, but like securely, right? And like doing it well, like not, wasn't abandoned, wasn't neglected, just like really felt secure and stable in kind of carving that out for herself. And then you getting to go to her and
Yeah, and being able to show me like who she was on this other side of her rite of
as a sister
passage.
now, right? Like that's a huge thing.
Yeah, I feel like so much of that rupture that I was feeling in my system was when I came back to it, just her saying, like, I am not the same anymore. And how beautiful is that?
Really funny of grief too. But like, yeah, the beauty of it. Can you fold it? Oh, talk about the dichotomy of being a mother, getting to like meet these new pieces of your daughter that she has created as she becomes a big sister, entering middle childhood, and also knowing that she's not your baby self that you spent so many years loving.
Yeah, it's so huge. Something I have on my heart to ask you, because it's not talked about a lot. Like, we talk about the mother nest of the first 40 days, but what does like the integrative practice of coming back into the world look like? I think that is where women are feeling so dysregulated and lost, because we don't have this template of like, what are you just in bed for 40 days and then suddenly you're back to everything? Like I remember what it felt like to leave the house for the first time after our month in bed, and just the bigness of that, the vulnerability of that, like how slow we had to go, and also what a psychedelic experience it was. Like the trees looked different and everything was big. It just felt so huge. So what were your experiences in integrating after that initial little bubble?
I think I love to talk about this. You're right, it does matter so much. I think it's really important to dispel this idea that postpartum is like yes or no. Or it's this, like you said, like this switch that we flip where you're 40 days in bed, cooked into your house, and then you like drive yourself to the grocery store. Like that's traumatic, honestly, to your nervous
Truly.
system and to your body. Like that is a trauma to do that. To go from one extreme to the other, so swiftly. And so I think really what I go back to is when you have this, whether it's 40 days or 2 weeks or 1 week, where you are fully devoted to nothing but your baby and yourself. And like the answering of many toddler questions or whatever, right? But the bare bones of responsibility. That sets a foundation for what feels safe and not safe in your body. And it really does can become very, very clear. And so for me, my experience and what I really guide women to do is to not allow yourself to lose sight of that. It can be very tempting to become willing to betray that feeling in your body. It's very culturally accepted for a mother to betray her own needs in service of ABC. And really a refusal to release your right to feel nourished. And so when you hold that, when you say like this feeling of being safe, of being nourished, of having enough, of feeling like I get to say what my needs are and there's somehow a path to meeting them, I refuse to let go of this. That is your compass, where certain things are intolerable or tolerable. And it's going to be different for everyone, but really working off of that. So I can say, for my third postpartum, I didn't leave the house at all for 6 weeks. I think I like went on the balcony 3 times. I just didn't leave the house, and then I was ready, and I was like, I want to leave the house, but I made the mistake of going to the co-op, and it was a 6-minute drive, not 60, but I hated every second of it. And the co-op is so, I was like, I want to see people and I want to be seen by people, right? Like I was in this, but I was like, I want people to see me and my baby and who I am. And like, there comes this place where I'm ready to be perceived. I'm ready to be received. I'm
I
ready to
remember
be
that.
seen as who I am. And in hindsight, what I should have done instead, and this was an effect of the fact that we didn't have community where we were. We had done a cross-country move when I was 7 months pregnant with him. So there weren't those people there. But that need of I'm ready for other humans in a more significant way, ideally that would have been pulling women to me. That would have been inviting two friends over for the afternoon or going to one of their homes and sitting on their couch instead of my couch kind of transition. And instead, we were at the co-op and it wasn't horrible by any means. Baby was fine, everything was fine. But I remember turning to his dad and being like, this is terrible. Don't ever bring me back here. I want to go home right now. Everyone's talking. I can hear everyone. I can feel everyone's feelings. Like I didn't have those like energetic boundaries reestablished. I was still blasted open postpartum and was like, ah, like I can hold my feelings and my 3 children, but not like all 7 cashiers and all these patrons. Like, this is too much. And I just wanted to go home. And I did. I don't think I left the house again for another like 3 weeks because I was just like, that is not interesting to me at all. Versus, in my fourth postpartum, did kind of structure that differently. And when I was like, I want people, I want to be seen, I did invite people over just to like, in the backyard or whatever that might look like. But as far as the task of motherhood, I think it's really important to acknowledge that postpartum is so much longer than 40 days. And so this idea that you're going to rest until you're not resting is a really kind of it's almost there, but you are cutting yourself off from the nuance of your own life. And so, even just looking at the wisdom of nesting, right? I was 8 months pregnant. And like all 8 months pregnant women, I was scrubbing the inside of my washing machine and behind the fridge. Like that's what you do. But I was also super, super aware of this is probably the last time this happens for the next year. Like I was not even pretending, right? So I'm gonna go scrub the floorboards, and then no one is going to touch them for at least the next 6 months. Like I know for a fact, there is no way in hell me at 6 months postpartum is gonna clean the like trim. No. Me a year postpartum probably not gonna bother doing it, because the amount of so as you build capacity, you still have this like priority list. I know me at 6 months postpartum can handle making dinner most days. But I'm also still at a place where like the laundry's clean but not folded. Or things like that, right? What does that look like? And it'll look so different in every woman's life, but really take on what you can hold in integrity. And if it's something that you can't, you either let it go or you need to find someone else to do it. You have to find another way for it to be done. And there will probably be things like that, especially for modern mothers, where it's this thing, dinner made by 5 o'clock, emotional regulating, or laundry being done, or the toilet being cleaned more than once a month. Whatever the thing is, you will find things where you're like, it's time for this to be done, and I can't do it in integrity. I would be severely betraying this other large necessity.
Or your baby's needs.
Or your baby's needs, right? Like your needs or your baby's needs. Like there is something that it would compromise me to do this thing. So we have to find another way to get it done, or we have to decide we don't care. And I find that really consciously working with these pieces, really giving yourself, like really being aware of what's happening, makes all the difference, because it's a very different energy than if you were to be like, there's kind of this like hot mess mom culture of like, it's so hard. Nobody, like, I'm not even trying anymore. That doesn't feel good. And I'm not saying it's not good because your house isn't clean. That's not the judgment I'm making. That doesn't feel good to be the woman in that space who feels disempowered by the very existence of her life. I don't want that for anyone. However, when you're consciously working with it and you are very aware and have your own process of, yeah, I nursed the baby to sleep and the floors are filthy. And someone spilled apple juice this morning, and I don't even think we mopped it up. So now they're also sticky. I could peel away from my baby and go do that. And I know if I do, and I miss the rest of this hour, and I miss the regulation of smelling his breath, and I miss the nourishment of feeling his warmth, I am not going to be functional the rest of the afternoon. And so I'm choosing. Not, oh, I can't do the floors. Like, no one can keep up. I am quite literally choosing that that's just not my priority and I'm okay. And then you'll often find that you're more fortified and you can end up putting the baby on your back and cleaning the floors when he's awake or whatever, right? It ends up actually being better and more productive. But it's really pulling back the curtain on victimhood and taking it off the table for yourself. When you just really choose to own your choices.
Yeah, and that awareness that, like, some days the clean house is the nourishment, cleaning the house is the nourishment, and then some days letting it be a mess and going to lay in bed is the nourishment. And that might even be within the same day, right?
It
But
might be. Right? Yep.
I have been so just humbled by what a slow integrative process it is coming back. I really attended to those first 3 months, but now at almost 9 months postpartum, just seeing that, like, slowly every day as I made the choices I made, the house got a little bit cleaner. The things that felt like an absolutely hell no in my system a few months ago are now feeling nourishing to me. Slowly, my meals are starting to get a little bit more involved. And we're going to the park instead of the backyard a little bit more often. And it really is just such a slow process. And I can see how supportive that has also been for my daughter. Like, it's predictable. My husband has definitely had some moments where that was unexpected, and he didn't know what to do with it. Like, we prepared hard. He took 7 weeks off. We prepared hard for that immediate window. But then there came a point at, like, 4 months postpartum, 6 months postpartum, of the expectation that I was just the woman I was before. So, yeah, coming to that place of explaining that, like, first of all, I will never be the woman I was before. But, like, that I am still very much postpartum at 9 months. And I'm not at a place where I'm going to abandon my body's needs and my baby's needs, and actually just allowing myself to realize when something feels bad. And then a couple months later, it feels really, really juicy. Like, there's nothing and correct about it. It could not be incorrect to just follow those choices and those muses. And yeah, just the patience and the awareness around that has been such medicine for me this time around.
Yeah, I love that. And getting to feel so secure and connected to your body and your baby and your decisions that come from that, right? Really having nourishment of mother and baby be the single most foundational value in your family and take action from that place. Then getting to really hold that torch for your husband, where there's actually an opportunity for him to see that, for him to look through your frame. Right? It's such a welcoming experience for the entire family unit for you to be able to stand really firmly and like, this is what is serving us, all of us, your love. You know, your daughter getting to see that, your son getting to experience it, but also your husband getting to understand it. And now he no longer has to like feel at odds with what's happening within his home or anything. You know what I mean? Everyone gets to feel. And again, not all the time, obviously, but there's an opportunity for contentment when we are really conscious about our choices that we miss if we instead feel like we're like there's no choice at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the framework that I re received from you, especially in Rooted, one of the things that just has been so medicinal for our family is just the first unit on value. Like, what does it actually look like to parent, to mother, to be a wife, a woman from value? And just having that structure to orient to as a family with my children, with my husband, of just coming back to that value, and most of the time that value being mother baby, has been such an incredible template for all of us.
So glad to hear that. It's like the defining feature of my motherhood feeling good. It's like, yeah, that foundation of values to go back to and bring my children back to is a huge part of, and obviously this doesn't necessarily have to do with postpartum as much, but it's a huge part of my language I use with my children. Of like, our family values this, and therefore our family does this. So this is what we do. So it's funny that I say that. I was like, oh, it's not related to postpartum. We were at the park this morning, like I told you, and there's this giant boulder that six children were climbing on at the same time. And I was trying to explain to my 3-year-old that with so many bodies moving around, I didn't want him standing and walking. Because it would be hard for everyone to anticipate how everyone else's body is moving in such an unstable space. And he was like, you know, too focused on keeping track of his body to keep track of my words and was like straight up, like eyes glazed over, not hearing me. And I said, wait, Noah, Noah, treat the rock like a postpartum bed. What do we do in the bed postpartum? And he immediately sat down and he goes, only scooting and crawling? Like, yes. That thread does remain of like these are our values, this is how we work, and it's really foundational. I know he's a good
Absolutely.
child. He was telling me he calls himself a chef, and he was telling me just last week, when my wife is postpartum, I'm gonna make her so much broth. Like it's really, you know, it becomes this family value that I know it really ripples out, and that's something to be. Maybe it's not something to be prideful about, but it is something I am so proud of that my son have this really, really rich, very thoroughly fleshed out lived experience of physiological postpartum to the extent that regardless of the postpartum narrative my future daughter-in-laws have, like I my sons will protect the space of their wife and the baby. Full stop. Maybe even more than she realizes she deserves. Like in that, I am proud of that. I do feel so good that they get to
As a family value, like
as a
physiological
family value,
postpartum as a family value. It really is so powerful, not only for your family, but like for the community, how they're going to show up. for their community, for their future partners.
Yeah, that's such a good thing. I'm really such a challenge, like you're saying, that family value right now in the season of life being mother baby for you. Really does become like mother child father, like this foundational value that like we will all be nourished. We will all be well. We refuse to create a life that doesn't feel that way. But how do we do it?
And what an incredible foundation to moving forth from a nourished postpartum to nourished motherhood. So that leads me into your one of many incredible offerings, but rooted the program that I did earlier this year. Like I said, it has shifted so much for me and for my family and the languaging of my children. But I would love to hear you speak to Rooted. What is it, and what are you offering mothers who are interested?
Yeah, so Rooted is the mothering cohort that is really founded on this belief that we've talked about. If your body is for you in birth and your body is for you in postpartum, then your body is for you through motherhood. And there's like actually no point in time where that becomes untrue. And there's never a point where motherhood is now meant to like harm you and beat you down rather than build you and bless you. And so back to those postpartum foundations of like then physiological motherhood, as directed by your life and your body and your needs and your experiences and all, no one can tell you exactly what that needs to look like. But physiological meaning, primarily directed by your body and your needs and your baby and their needs. And your whole family constellation, right? And four children, like it's all of them. And so not just my youngest. And so really this process of clarifying your values, what is important to you? What are you seeking? What are you after? And then moving through some of those spaces that may be kind of blocking that coming to life, whether that's some nervous system patterning or a somatic awareness and availability. And those really practical tips of, like actually do it. What does that look like? What are the rhythms you need? What are the structures you need? What's the community that you need? Like, here's what you want. Here's maybe why you think you can't have it. We're gonna hold that together. And now you get to actually piece it together. And really, in a matter of 8 weeks where we're together, I've not had a single mother move through that hasn't had some really remarkable shifts. Children are incredibly responsive. Life is incredibly responsive. And when you decide that you're going to have a certain thing and you make a life that gives you that, you have it. So yeah, Rooted is this collection of calls and a group mothering space and practices and rhythms and usually recipes that I toss in when I make them and enjoy them and whatever else, but are really just in service of nourished physiological motherhood and offering mothers not only the model for that as a possibility, but really walking with them as they collect the tools they need to make that a reality in their life.
And women having that as a community, often for the first time, was one thing that has stayed so closely with me. And yeah, I think the thing that has shifted the most for me from being in Rooted is just having the framework for all of these things that I felt and I knew to be true. Having like a concrete framework and languaging and examples and a community to talk about it and dissect it. It really, yeah, shifted everything for me in getting all of these values, these ideals and standards I have, and like how do we actually put that into a practice in a way that feels so good for everybody?
And the way that feels good, I think I love that you pointed that out because I think so often, like, Self-care, feel good, be nourished. It becomes like an unchecked box on the modern mother's to-do list. But a lot of
Yes.
already so full of other things, like feeling good in your body is now like something you have to go out and do. And it just feels
Are you stressed if
unattainable.
you don't?
And then like at the end of every day, you're like, oh, I didn't take care of myself.
Because that
And you
will
go to bed.
always go to the bottom of
It
the
will always go to the
list
bottom if you let
in
it
our
go to the
modern
bottom.
world. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also can feel so intimidating and inaccessible and out of reach to feel like it's this thing that you have to make, or it just becomes another thing to do.
Yeah.
And so my goal is always to invite mothers into a space where there's like those lateral movements. Your entire life isn't changing in a matter of 24 hours, but something will shift, right? Like, how do we shift and lean in and turn towards and orient with and move ourselves that way? And it's faster than you would think, but not so fast that you like can't conceptualize it. You just like don't even try,
Yeah.
right? So often, in these like nuclear families, we're existing and feeling good, feeling nourished, resourced, stable, secure, vibrant, feels so out of reach. Women don't even try
Yeah.
because, like, how could you possibly is how it feels. How could I possibly? And the answer is like literally thousands of different ways. Here's a
Yeah.
ton of options. Here's a framework to figure out what those things are for you and the permission set to utilize them, because nourishment is actually everywhere. And you don't have to go through this grand process of spending 3 hours by yourself every other day to be able to withstand the rest of your life. You can actually just dip in and out of nourishment dozens of times every day and feel up to
Yeah.
the task of your life.
And just it's so available. It felt to me like a framework for making nourishment not a thing to do, but just how you live and how you mother and how you think and how you exist in your system, in your nervous system. I was really, really changed by just how readily accessible it is to us and how differently that looks for every woman. Like, this was not a course telling you how to mother. It was not an
I wouldn't
easy, quick
dare.
fix thing. But the frequency that it held for each woman and their completely different walks of life and mothering style, it was so nourishing that nobody was wrong. Everyone was just orienting to like what is right in themselves and in their family unit.
I'm so glad that it feels that way, because that's obviously the like greatest wish. I tell women, like, and we go through this and we did when we're looking at constructing rhythm and whatnot, where I'm like, I could not possibly sit down and like give you the answers, nor would I want to. But my hope is that there's the framework for any mother to arrive and feel really safe, like setting down all the pieces that she's working with, so that she can choose how she wants to pick them up and hold them. And just like knowing that that's a place to do that. And it can be like you can arrive messy and you can stay messy, or you can also like put yourself together in a new way that feels good. And that's just an option you have.
I loved that the course wasn't just like another thing to do.
I'm
Like,
so glad.
I
I'm
return.
so glad it feels that way.
I still return to that course like every single week. It has really just become like a touchstone, and a lifestyle. And it really showed me how much like the little, or not the little, but the more unseen pieces shift things. We don't often need these huge doings and total upheavals of how we're parenting. Like, just the weeks that I implemented the energetics of what we were working on without even shifting how I was interacting with my children. But just those little shifts made such a huge difference in like my children's nervous system and how they communicated. I remember in the beginning of the program, this really aha moment of just seeing the languaging that this was giving my almost 7-year-old. We had been in a pattern of her really struggling with leaving the house when we were shifting into uprooting and doing something else. And when I would come to her with the, in 15 minutes we're leaving, in 10 minutes we're leaving, in 5 minutes we're leaving, it would just go ignored until it was time to leave and then total breakdown. And there was this moment of being like, okay, Luna, where it's time to go shift into this. And she said, actually, Mom, right now I'm making a bracelet for my friend, and I promised her I would do that. And I really value honesty, so I'm actually not available to leave right now. And did it change the fact that we had to get to homeschool co-op in 10 minutes? No, but it was so perfect. And we suddenly had this channel to work with. It was truly beautiful. And that has rippled out into a relationship so much of her. Like, I can see she craved this languaging that, like, she's also living from value. Of course she is. But having that framework and that culture in our family of like, this is what we talk about. And this is how we model and mirror this for you. It made huge shifts as we're entering this huge threshold of middle childhood.
Oh, it's so brilliant. Yeah, I mean, it does also really echo off that way. Mothering from this place of value and constricting your life from value really opens up, like, talk about valuing honesty. It really opens up a place for connection and cooperation with your children when you're just really honest about what's happening and why. But then, yeah, also gives your children a pathway to then be honest and connected with you and invite you to cooperate with her, not her friendship bracelets or whatever else are important. It's just gorgeous. I love it.
And suddenly it's all possible, and we're on the same page, and neither of our nervous systems are frozen.
Right. Yeah. And I love that bit you pointed out. Like, did it change the situation? No. But both of you got to have an experience of the circumstance that is wildly different than the alternative, which would have been conflict and confusion and the kind of like authority hierarchy that feels clunky rather than comfortable.
Absolutely.
And I think that is such a good thing to point out. Like, nourished motherhood is not necessarily that all the variables of your life change, but that you have a pathway to experiencing them in a way that feels nourishing.
And that's the accessibility. So Rooted is an 8-week program, right? Of weekly live calls and then some work and teachings online, and then that beautiful integrative piece of the live chat. And workshopping it all together. So I will share a link to that. If you're listening to this before July 19th, you still have a way in, or you could get on the wait list afterwards if you're not hearing it by then. But is there anything else that you'd like to share about Rooted?
No, if you want, I mean, I think I really encourage women to, like, if you feel like it's your come into it. I've never had anyone be like, oh, I regret it.
Absolutely.
Because it really is as much as you make it, you know.
I felt like just committing to it, like just sending the money. I was at a place in my postpartum where I totally did not have that money. But seeing you share about it, it was just like, oh, yes, I'm going to be in that. That is true. Just the act of orienting to that and just like making that financial commitment before we even entered a group chat, before we even started on the work, that shifted so much in me of just like, no, this is what I'm committed to. This is what I'm orienting to because it feels so true.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's so good. Yeah, that action from value just immediately.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Nicole. This has been such a nourishing conversation. Before we close up, do you have any last notes for women that may be listening who are about to enter postpartum, matrescence, or who are in it?
Yeah. I say to find those spaces where nourishment is present and allow yourself to receive them. And it really does build from there. And sometimes it's a matter of like courage to make the decision that protects the sense of nourishment and receptivity and really just allowing yourself permission to act from a place of trust and from a place of faith, even that your body doesn't steer you wrong. Your body will not betray your baby. And it's safe to listen to those pulls and honor them. Because, and in fact, it's not just safe, it is the most safe. It is the most fruitful, the most abundant is to honor what's been coded for you.
Yes, that is perfect. Thank you so much. The work you're doing in the world is just so necessary and just feels so good and so true. So I will leave all the links to Access Rooted and the Nourish Postpartum Summit and all of your beautiful offerings and ways to connect and follow you. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us. If these stories have been medicine for you, please help share them by following and sending them to the women in your life they would serve. The maidens who are beginning to orient themselves to their matrescence, the pregnant mothers preparing for the birth portal, and the postpartum mothers who could be held in their alchemy by these stories. If you have a physiological postpartum story you'd like to share, you can find the link to submit a story in the description. I would be honored to sit with you. You can also find a link in the description to connect with me or book one-to-one mentoring sessions for wild birth and sacred postpartum preparation, birth story integration, ceremonial loss support, or traditional birthwork mentorship.